Well, I want to thank everyone who had a part today in the service. From the children to Rachel and Kathy, Shannon, ensemble, thank you very much for ministering to us today through music and to bring us the good news that Jesus is alive. Now, if I were to say, Christ is risen, what would you say?
He is risen
indeed. Yeah, pretty good. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Okay, you got it black. This eye is just on it. So, anyway. I'm not used to being this close to you because generally you're in the back row. So, back up a little bit till it gets scary. So, Easter. What a beautiful day for Easter. The sun is out, and supposedly it's even going to get somewhat warm today. I'm going to say this, and I think the Lord will forgive me. Farmers, you have my blessing that after Easter dinner, you want to go out and put some seed in the ground? I'm sure the Lord understands, because after all, Jesus had to be buried before he could rise, right? Easter, you know, think about it. What's the big deal about Easter? You know, I mean, Lord knows we don't know what time of year it is. Is it always different? Never comes the same thing. You know, Christmas is great. The 25th of December. Okay, who can tell me? When's Easter next year? Oh, yes, the formula. It's something after something. It's something with an equinox. I thought that was a car. It is a car, isn't it? An equinox? Yeah, it is. Oh, anyway, you know, I mean, Easter, it can be March, it can be April. You know, you love December 25th, Christmas. It's always there. July 4th. You know, it's never on the 7th. If it's never in June, it's always July 4th. But Easter, it moves around. And so, if it was so important of a holiday, why in the world did they give it a day that it would just be that day? It would be Easter. You know, like March 30th or whatever. Of course, then it wouldn't be on Sunday. And there is a formula, and I do understand that. I don't understand the formula. I do understand there's a reason why they do that. But you know, why do we celebrate Easter? Why is it so important? It's a great story, isn't it? I mean, it's a great story about Jesus Christ dying, and then on Easter he rose from the dead, and we love great stories. But is that all it is a great story? Well, to look at the importance of Easter, we're going to go back a little bit to, and because we don't really have a Good Friday service, I like to go back to the cross. Because the cross is so important to Easter. In fact, it's really it's a big part of the Easter service, and we're going to look at that so that we can understand the importance of Easter. And I know we can say yeah. We know it's important. It's an important religious holiday. I hate that term. I hate that when people say it's an important religious holiday. You know, because it sounds like it's just some sort of trite religious thing. But there is so much more to Easter than we realize. Do you realize our very life depends on Easter? Do you realize that? Our very life, not Jesus's, our very life depends on Easter. Our hope depends on Easter. Our future depends on Easter. It is so vitally important to who we are. As Christians and as believers in God. First of all, we're going to look at John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. And this is Jesus on the cross, and it's right at the end of his time on the cross. And only in the Gospel of John do we find this narrative on what Jesus said. Starting in verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, said, I am thirsty. a jar of sour wine was standing there. So they put it on a sponge, put a sponge full of sour wine up on a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Let's pray. Father, in the time we have remaining this morning, speak to us through your word, through the leading of your Holy Spirit. Lord, lay upon our hearts the importance of this. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is finished. What did that statement mean? What was Jesus talking about when he says, "It is finished"? Now, it's one of Jesus' seven last words from the cross. But what does it mean? I'm sure if anyone was at the cross and heard him say, "It is finished," they probably thought, yeah, it's done all right. There's our King. He's dying. He's hanging on a cross. I guess he isn't going to be king over Israel. I guess he isn't going to be bring Israel back to a powerful nation and take them out from the control of the Romans. I guess it's finished. This 3 years that we followed him and the 3 years we've heard about him preaching, I guess it's all over. That has nothing to do with what Jesus Christ was saying, but I'm sure that's what people were thinking. And I'm sure that if there were Pharisees and scribes and priests standing there, when they heard this statement, they thought, "Aha, it is. It is finished. We got him. We got him. He's gone. He is no more going to be a problem for us because he's dead." That's not what Jesus was talking about. When he said those words, "It is finished," he was saying something so profound that no one there knew what it was talking about. And really, only after his resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit do we fully understand what Jesus Christ is talking about. What is finished? What is finished? In John chapter 17, verse 4, in Jesus' prayer, he says, "I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do." Well, there's a hint to what Jesus is talking about. Because when he's talking to Jesus, when Jesus is talking to God, his Father, he says, "I have accomplished the work that you have given for me to do." I have accomplished the work. So, there we go. It is finished. The work that God had given Jesus to do. Okay, you know, we can play this game. What work? What work are we talking about? Well, in John 4, verses 34, Jesus says, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Again, we get the idea that it's accomplishing his work, but what is the work that he is supposed to do? The disciples didn't know. The bystanders didn't know. No one knew what he was talking about, what the work is that he was supposed to do. Now, he had given them enough information. They just hadn't put it together yet. But we really get a clue when we go to after Jesus' death and resurrection in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, when we read this. And this is Peter speaking after he is empowered by the Holy Spirit. He says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." So, what Jesus has accomplished, the work that he has come to do, has something to do with salvation. Because Peter says there's no other name on earth that is given that we can be saved. So it has something to do with our salvation, which is great. We're getting more and more into it. Romans 6:23, Paul writes, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." See, it's coming together. It's coming together. The work that Jesus is talking about is that he has become the payment for our sin. And he has taken it to the cross. And it is finished. He has become the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He has taken upon himself the penalty for our sin. The work is completed. He has done that. He has brought salvation to man through his death on the cross. The work is finished. There's no more work to be done on salvation. No more work. It's all been done. He has done it. See, we don't work for our salvation. We accept it as a gift that Jesus Christ gives to us through his work and through his death on the cross. And so when he says, "It is finished," he means he has done it. He has completed the path to salvation. He has built the road. He has finished it. We now have access to God through Jesus Christ because Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world and he died on the cross, taking our punishment for sin. And now we stand redeemed in the Lord when we accept Jesus Christ. Now, it's not an automatic thing. Yes, the work is finished, but are we going to accept the work? Are we going to believe in the work? Are we going to take Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." He completed it. He did it. He took our sins. There is no one else that can do it, and no one else needs to do it. Well, we've really talked about the next question: how was it finished? How did he do it? I've kind of been alluding to it. There's scripture passages there, but we're gonna just kind of let you read those. But he accomplished it again by living a life full of free of sin, totally free of sin, and then allowing himself. And don't be confused that the Jews and the Romans took Jesus' life. They did not take Jesus' life. He gave it. He gave it up. And we better be thankful that he gave it up, because if Jesus Christ had not given his life for us, then there would be no payment for our sins, and we are guilty and facing eternal death. He did it by letting himself be nailed to that cross and dying for our sins. Now, my title is, "It is finished," but it's not over. But it's not over. Because it didn't just end when Jesus Christ died on the cross. That is only the mid part of our story. The story goes on. And praise the Lord, the story does go on. Now, I'm sure for the disciples and for those who are followers of Jesus Christ, they thought it was finished. And I'm sure they were very depressed and disheartened and discouraged at this time, because Jesus Christ was gone. But then comes that Sunday morning. We call it Sunday morning. For them, it was Monday morning. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7. "Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Now, the women, by being very persistent on that morning and wanting to go to the tomb, got to see something that the disciples did not get to see. They got to see the stone rolled away, and an angel sitting there, and a very dazzling thing, like lightning and white and both. And the angel says, "You come to see Jesus? He's not here. He is risen." Now, one of the things I want to say, just a little thing here, is one of the things that none of the texts in any of the Gospels say, that the angel rolled the stone away and Jesus came out. Because Jesus didn't come out. They rolled the stone away to show that Jesus was not there. Jesus left the tomb before the stone was rolled away. In his resurrection body, Jesus could literally go through material objects, as later on the disciples found out while sitting in a locked room, Jesus showed up without going through the door. Rather an interesting scenario. But what it would have been like to go there and have the angels say, "He is risen. He's not here. Now go tell the others." See, the resurrection, it was finished. The work of salvation was finished. But Jesus needed to rise from the dead, and he did rise from the dead. Now, why is it so important? I mean, he died for our sins, so why is it so important that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Well, if we go to 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 12, it says, Now if Christ is preached that he has been risen from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection from the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Our faith also is in vain. Moreover, we are even found to be a false witness of God, because we testify against God that he raised Jesus when he did not rise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those who have also fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. To put it in a nutshell, Paul said, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then this is all for nothing. This is all for nothing. This is just a grand waste of time. Oh, we got a good breakfast out of it. Heard some good singing. Although they were singing about a lie. Because if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, then it's pointless. Even though he died for our sins, if he was not raised from the dead, then we only have hope while we're alive. That means that while we are alive, you know, right now, we have hope. Because Jesus Christ saved us from our sins. But when death comes, as it will for a lot of us in this room, some of us might escape that. Because Jesus Christ might come. Some of you younger ones might get to see that. Maybe some of us older ones will get to see that. Who knows? You know, things are kind of looking sketchy out there in the world. But Jesus Christ had to be raised from the dead because he had to conquer death. Because death would still win then. Even though we would die without sin, we would still be dead. But Jesus conquered death. He conquered our sins. He conquered death because he rose on the third day. And we celebrate that because if Jesus Christ had not risen, then we are lost. And we are facing an eternity without Jesus and without God. So it is vitally important. It's not just a good story. It's not just a great story. It is great news for us that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Now, he was raised from the dead, but he didn't just disappear. He appeared. In Mark 16, 9-14, it says that he appeared to Mary Magdalene, and then he appeared to the disciples. He also appeared to two disciples who were walking on a road. And then if we go to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8, Paul writes that he appeared again to the women, he appeared to the disciples, and then he said that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. Now, that's not recorded when he appeared to 500 brethren, but he did. And then he says, and then he appeared to me. Paul saw the resurrected Jesus Christ on his road to Damascus. And Jesus came down and talked to Paul. Had a few good words for Paul. Changed Paul's life completely. Turned him in from to a persecutor to the persecuted. Because he became a very strong missionary. Jesus Christ is alive. It's just not because the tomb was empty that he's alive. He showed himself to more than 500 people that he was alive. And again, that's good news for us because that shows us that there is life after death. And that even though we may die in this world, if Jesus Christ doesn't come soon, we are going to rise. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we are going to rise just like he did. And we are going to have bodies that are going to be perfected just like his body is. We have victory through Jesus Christ. We have victory over sin. We have victory over death. And that is why we celebrate Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. Because it's not just good for him. It's vital for us. Because even though it's all about him, it was all for us. It wasn't for himself. He wasn't fulfilling some bucket list thing, you know, that's a common thing now. That's on my bucket list. You know, I don't have a bucket list. Because I've done everything I want to do, pretty much. Except I want to do more of it. Like fishing. You know, but it wasn't a bucket list. It wasn't Jesus, I just gotta do this. I gotta go down and live like people and live among them and try to do it right though and then no, this was tough for Jesus to do. You know, you say, is anything too hard for God? This was hard for God. Because Jesus came here and he lived a sinless life. And even though he was perfect, he allowed himself, even though he had the ability to destroy everything in his path, he did not do it. He gave himself up to be hung on a cross for us. Not for himself, for us. And then he died and he rose from the grave, not for himself, but for us. See, Easter is all about Jesus Christ, but it's all for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can celebrate the work that you have done. Father, thank you for salvation, for the promise of life. Even though we may die in this world, Lord, through your death and resurrection, we have the promise of life for those who believe. And Lord, I pray for everyone that is here this morning. Lord, I pray that everyone here would have accepted you as Lord and Savior, that everyone here will have put their faith in you and believe in you, so that our future is bright and our hope is in you. And our life will be everlasting. Father, thank you for Easter and for what it means to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name.